You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Breathe. Just breathe. Reach out. Grab a hold of it. Stroke it. It's so much bigger. Did anyone, like, kind of think dirty thoughts during kind of Mark Hamill's opening monologue?
I didn't think of that at first.
Although, admittedly, the third time through, I was kind of like, relax.
Yeah.
Just relax it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot easier that way.
And just let it go. Which, Mark Hamill, he's a handsome man at this point.
I think that was just a way of getting their audience to not hyperventilate. I mean, people were just like, yeah. It's like, no, just breathe, breathe. This is actually a public service announcement. It has nothing to do with the trailer. Just breathe and watch the trailer.
Yes, it's a celebration that probably was necessary.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm happy I introduced this wonderfully awkward interview, but we're here today to talk about the Star Wars The Last Jedi teaser trailer. Yeah. And I think everyone in this room is a massive Star Wars fan like myself. Mm-hmm. And of course, let's just mention who everyone's here. I am Chris Herman.
I'm Marco Noyola.
Richard, you know me.
Eris.
Adam Sweeney.
And before we get into the nitty-gritty of the trailer, kind of our thoughts, let's talk about our claim to fame as Star Wars fan. What's the one thing which we know that no ordinary Star Wars fan would probably know? Like, for me, I would say I would know that Grand Admiral Thrawn is from the Chiss Ascendancy, and that he initially had contact with the outside galaxy during Timothy Zahn's fantastic novel, Outbound Flight. Marco? Okay.
You know what? This isn't showing off any knowledge. But my earliest Star Wars memory, one of my earliest memories, period, was being 3 or 4 years old and seeing Star Wars at a drive-in back in the 70s. So I go that far back. So for me, it's just kind of always been a part of my life. It's always been there since I was a kid, and can't really imagine anything earlier than Star Wars.
So, that's a good nostalgic answer right there. Richard?
Well, if I remember exactly where it is, I can usually find the potato in the asteroid field.
There you go.
There's a potato in there.
Because we'll find the shoe in the Battle of Endor.
Yep. That one's there as well. Big sneaker. Hidden in the back. Again, great antiquity.
Yeah.
But most notable in these circles for being the man that will fight pretty much anybody over the excellence of the prequels. You're all wrong. Chris is in the corner making faces. He's
I'm
wrong as well.
Faces.
Hey, Richard.
You're all wrong.
Prepare to be shocked. But I am not a prequel hater.
Hey!
Never have been. I just don't like them as much as you do.
Yeah, well, I'll get you around eventually.
What about you, Harris? You're a prequel lover, hater?
What prequels?
Yeah, good answer. That's the right answer. That's a true Star Wars fan right there.
I also am, while not old enough to have seen the original Star Wars in the theater because it came out the year I was born, I did see all...
That's no excuse!
I did see all of the Star Wars in theater when they came out, including Star Wars, the original New Hope, when it came back to theaters in the early 80s. So I have seen all of those, and I remember the days when the only hope we had for a sequel were the Timothy Zahn books,
The Endor Ewok movies.
Yeah,
that was what we had to look forward to
with Wilford Brimley.
Yeah,
that crazy old man.
We're so excited when that came on. Star Wars is back.
Ewok movie. There was no air. There was no
two Ewok movies. Harris.
There was no clone emperor bullshit.
It was okay.
That's right. Joined the animated series.
Yes,
I think it's okay.
Ewoks was better.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Not by much, but better.
Adam, how about yourself? What's your claim to fame for being a Star Wars fan?
Oh, man. Claim to fame? Well, I'm a member of the 501st.
All right.
Oh, my God. I guess we all lose now.
Star Garrison.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
No. I actually have I wear kind of a scarlet letter to a degree. One of the first jobs that I ever had was at a movie theater, and I got the job because I had watched The Phantom Menace so many times that they finally said,
boy.
That's a little fist bump from Richard.
Yeah, there we go.
That was a fist full of shame.
Yeah. That pod racing scene, though, right, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So
yeah,
good.
They basically said, hey, would you like a job? Because you are the only one that has seen this 12 times so far. And I was like, absolutely. I'd have to make my money back somehow. So.
I think we have proven our Star Wars cred for this podcast. But let's just get into everyone's kind of initial thoughts on the trailer. I mean, for myself, where I don't think it kind of gave me the nostalgic feelings that the original teaser from 2015 did for The Force Awakens, I did think that this was the right trailer to put out there because, one, it felt different enough from all the other kind of trailers we've seen for Star Wars movies recently. It didn't give me those nostalgic feelings. I like that it's kind of focused on – this new mysterious thing, specifically Luke Skywalker, which I think we're all going to go into much detail in a few minutes. But for me, I liked it, even though it didn't, like, you know, make me water up, you know, that kind of thing. Michael, yeah. What about yourself?
No, same here. We were kind of talking about this earlier. This wasn't really the trailer that I wanted. If you've been kind of following the expanded universe stuff that's come out recently, or, you know, the other media, or even just some of the websites where they post script leaks and set leaks, there's a lot of questions I have. Mm-hmm. And this trailer did not really answer any of those. But I also understand for the general audience, this is a really good trailer to start with, because we're going to get like 3 more trailers, probably a dozen TV spots. Come December, we're going to be like actually actively avoiding looking at these things.
We're going to be sick of it.
We're going to be sick of it because you don't want to get spoiled anymore. So right now, smart move to put this trailer out. Keep it vague and enticing. Richard?
I think it was interesting that we didn't see any of the locations that we'd seen mm-hmm. in leaked shots yeah. from the set.
Oh, that was it. Except for the planet Crait. We did see that earlier. The yeah. salt flat. So
yeah, but most of them we didn't really see. So it really feels like they're going, okay, see, we're a much bigger world than it looked like we were going to be again. Oh, sure. So it does seem interesting that they have tipped their hand that this is going down the Empire route of splitting the gang up.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Which questionable for me because I don't really feel they showed enough synergy in the first one, and now you send them off on separate on separate plot lines anyway, so okay. that could be an issue.
Okay.
I mean, Rian Johnson makes beautiful films.
Sure.
You know, has since day one. But a lot of what he does is in the edit, and therefore it's very, very hard to tell what's going on here and how and what his influence is going to be, because this is edited by a trailer editor and not Rian Johnson
right.
and Rian Johnson's team, who go for a very particular aesthetic. And that's going to be the big question. It's like, he is such a distinctive filmmaker.
I mean, just for me, just looking at it, where it's like a lot of wide shots of environments, whereas like in The Force Awakens, we didn't really get that. It was mostly, you know, J.J. Abrams doing his, you know, similar camera tricks, focusing more on, I think, the character stuff and the nostalgia things. But with
way
this,
more epic sweeping vistas. Where
yeah, exactly.
Including the, like, speaking of going down the Empire route, they also, in this one, there were no hero moments. There were no moments to make you go like, oh, yes, you know, this is going to be awesome. There was no, you know, Poe and that. There's no Poe, like, shooting down some shit, or Finn lighting up the lightsaber or whatever. Sure. All of this was very much of, like, the, yeah, everything is fucked, everyone's about to die, hey, look, you know, here comes Captain Phasma marching through the fire, where hopefully she will actually have something to do this time.
She's getting a comic book miniseries. So.
Here is all of this shit blowing up. This is obviously the darkest, you know, the darkest part before the dawn.
Sure.
I think it's important to also compare this to what we saw last time that they were at Celebration, right? Which essentially was just them stealing a bunch of lines from Return of the Jedi and then showing a couple of images. So mm-hmm. in comparison to that one, I felt like we got to see a good amount of images. But you're right. The impression that I kind of had whenever I was watching it the first time especially was, okay, there was no big, like, Kylo Ren moment where he's, like, igniting his lightsaber, mm-hmm. right?
Although we do see him.
Yeah, we do see him for, what, 2 seconds,
right? 2 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren's a great character,
Richard. I take that personally.
Yeah. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Yeah. But I think that what they were waiting for is the big aha moment that you get is at the very end, right?
Yeah.
Where you hear Mark Hamill say, it's time for the Jedi, and you obviously expect him to say, to rise or to return or whatever, right? And then he completely kind of like subverts that expectation and says to end.
Which is what
I don't think it's a subversion of the ending because, you know, he'd grumped off sometime between Jedi and the Force Awakens.
Well, you can't really call it grumping off when it's made pretty clear that he had everything destroyed in front of him.
Well, that's sulky child.
See, that's the thing that's really interesting about it, because I'm kind of the opinion that Luke Skywalker is actually the best character in Star Wars. Not saying he's my favorite, I just think he's the best, where he has an incredible arc, and he goes through the most change than any other character in the series. Yeah. Like, from A New Hope, he's just kind of, he's this naive kid who's like, oh, what's the Force? Oh, the rebellion, and then I had to fight the Empire. And in Empire, He's questioning like everything that's like happening around him. He's frustrated. And in Jedi, we see him that he's finally, you know, through all of his tribulations and troubles, he's now kind of regained his confidence. And now I know what my mission is. It's to redeem my father and to reestablish the Jedi. And I like the fact that now we see, even after, you know, that mindset having it going in with Jedi, we see him now where he just looks like he's a broken man.
Right.
And where his whole idea is like okay, maybe it wasn't my destiny to save the Jedi. Maybe it's to end it, to reestablish something new, which is, I love that direction where, as kind of Rey mentions in the trailer, it's like, what do you see? Luke asks her, what do you see? You know, the light, the dark, and balance. Yeah. And Luke says it's so much more than that, where Luke himself has come to the realization that the Jedi have always had it wrong.
Yeah.
It's just like, balance is not about, you know, having the Jedi come back and reestablish order. It's like, no, it's taking the light and the dark and working with both of them.
Yeah,
and I think that's really cool.
The Jedi's sense of balance has always been, there's thousands of us and these two Sith Lords, and now we're out of balance. I'm like, well, wait a minute, you're way more balanced than you realize. And when you get into the original trilogy, it seems like the Jedi are great, they're perfect, they're wonderful, yeah, they're noble, they can do no wrong. But if you start breaking it down, you look at that last moment with Obi-Wan in Jedi, and they're basically saying, well, you're trained, and now you have to go confront your father and kill him.
Yep. Right.
And Luke's like, he doesn't say that to Obi-Wan, but, you know, by the end, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. The Jedi's plan has pretty much been to just wipe out the Sith, period. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a dark side thing if you look at it. And of course, by the time we get to the prequels,
they are Nazis.
And I am here again, sit down, okay, Richard, because I'm going to defend the prequels.
Here we go.
I am going to defend the prequels, because that is the first time, and this is from George Lucas himself, who subverts that idea of the Jedi and goes, you know what, these guys are basically stooges for the very government that ultimately becomes the Empire. They seal their own fate. They became arrogant. They lost touch with the Force. And all of this idea of restoring balance, you guys had it completely wrong. I think even Yoda by the end is like, oh, fucked up we did.
Yeah.
You know. And finally, it's Luke, after all these years, going, you know what, the Jedi failed. I failed trying to bring him back. Maybe it's time to look at it in a new way. And I'll kind of let other guys talk
That's pretty much exactly what Yoda does at the end. It's not that he's running off to hide from the Emperor. He's going back to the old samurai master, realizing they've lost the way, and now he's gone off to the wilderness to regain it. He's gone off to basically meditate, and in a lot of the expanded universe stuff, like the Jason Aaron scripted comics, you see some of what Yoda has been up to.
Yeah, and discovering new ways of the Force, which is also from Clone Wars that George Lucas did. We're realizing that the Jedi Sith is not the sum of the Force.
Well, the other thing is,
there's a lot of other ways to explore
it. Speaking of all their media and whatnot, Rebels introduced the Bindu, which in this one this season has been a huge presence, making a big deal out of, like, you know, between the light and the dark, there's me. And while it would be interesting to see whether they're going to blatantly take from the animated series, because this does not seem like something that they would necessarily do, if they do make the Bindu, they do have hints that the Bindu is in there, because the scene where we see the journal looks a hell of a lot like where we see the Bindu.
Yeah, on that rebel planet, or where the rebel base is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they've already proven that they're going to jump in and take stuff.
Well, they put Saw Gerrera right in Rogue One. They took him from Clone Wars. He's in Rebels now. Also,
yeah, they're gonna cross
the Hammerhead cruisers.
Yes,
the Hammerhead cruisers. But also, you know, you can see Chopper, and you hear Hera. References to Hera, and you see the ghost. But whether it's going to be something that is that big of a plot point.
They've been laying a lot of groundwork for this concept of Grey Jedi. Even in the novels, referencing the Grey Jedi, quoting from the Journal of the Wills, bringing that concept back into canon. We see those guys in Rogue One, where, again, we have in Episode 7, we have the Church of the Force. We see those guys in Rogue One, you know. One thing that's clear is that the Jedi are not the only way to exploit or use the Force. And I refuse to believe that after all these comic books, all of these TV series, they keep bringing this up and I don't see how that's nothing but seeding that idea for the saga films.
It's all going to lead into these, you know, these probably last two films, you know, featuring kind of the original cast, specifically Luke, and maybe, you know, carrying it onwards, you know, with the rest of the saga movies.
Or we're completely wrong, and that's the first 5 minutes of the movie, and she spends the next 10 minutes going, no, come on. He's like, all right, fine, so, I'll trade you again.
So I think that's a good point, because I will say that I think the majority of these shots that we're getting are from the first act.
Absolutely.
I think that Luke's going to have a change of heart, become a reluctant, right? Whether he talks to Anakin, because there's obviously been a lot of rumors about Hayden Christensen getting his quote-unquote redemption, which, I mean, I stand in the minority. I'm all for bringing Hayden back.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't make any sense, because why would he be young again? You know, if we're going to see the Force
George
Ghost...
established him as young.
That doesn't make any sense. If he's going to come back as the Force Ghost of Anakin Skywalker, then he should be come back as an old man, just like Obi-Wan.
They're not
now they're going to play...
They're going to Peter Cushing Sebastian Shaw, is what you're saying?
I hate this idea that, no, just recast an actor that looks similar to that person. That's something I just don't know why people don't do that anymore.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to do it.
Really pissed about it.
But Star Wars fans, we get pissed about everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we got to swallow.
Can you imagine what would happen if they recast Leia?
Here's the thing.
They should.
I agree. I think they should. Because, you know, I mean, this is kind of getting off topic.
I hate it,
but
they should.
If they're going to, like, fundamentally change Episode 9 because they're taking her out of there, it's just like, then just recast a different actress in it and just let that story play out.
Yeah.
You know,
there is no way in hell they could get away with that. I think that would be
no,
so for the sake of the story, we're gonna fundamentally change it.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't want her written out.
But if you recast, that's what I
don't unceremoniously boot her out of the
story. Is more important than my character, right? So if you were to go and say, okay, we recast Carrie Fisher with Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
like,
and
so people would quiet down.
If someone had a problem with that, I would say
Meryl Streep has played Carrie Fisher before.
You need to understand that Carrie Fisher was going to be written into this, into Episode 9, had she not passed away. Rest in peace, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, the story is so, I mean, to quote Luke, right? It's so much bigger than us. And so I totally get what Richard's saying.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, like, hypothetically or ideally what people would say. I think you're right. I think there would be, you know, lightsaber pitchforks or whatever. People going through the streets.
I think it would be an unwinnable fight.
It's unwinnable.
Particularly when these films have such a tradition of creating visual consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, going back and reshooting the Emperor for Empire.
Makes
I mean,
sense.
That's the first time they did this. Yeah. So we're talking about a decade-old dedication to this. I think going back and recasting that part, I think wouldn't work artistically. I think that'd be a core problem. I think you'd really just be, you know, the outrage would be poured down.
I mean,
I don't think any actress would want to take the part because it would be a fucking scarlet letter on their entire career.
And the other thing is, it's not as though that the story that they're leading into wouldn't work without Carrie Fisher or without Princess Leia.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know that.
We are watching the changing of the guard. When killing off Harrison Ford, killing off Han Solo was because Harrison Ford wanted to get the fuck out of the movie.
I think it's a combination.
But again, you could just as easily find ways that Carrie Fisher's character, you know, Princess Leia, has to leave the series.
They have got precedent for a character slipping into the background. Now, this is going to be the controversial one, but Jar Jar. By the time you get to Episode 3, Jar Jar is a minor character because he's fulfilled his role. Now, if you're
he's had no role. He was there to sell toys.
But if you
be vaguely racist.
Yeah, and the vaguely racist. You know what?
Really racist.
You know what, Richard? You get him in Empire's End, where he's become a sad clown Naboo. Marco, what are you going to say?
Well, you know what I was going to say was about the Princess Leia unwinnable situation. Right after she died, and mind you, this was right in the wake of Peter Cushing being I don't know if the reincarnated is the right word, you know, but you know what,
from the grave?
If you've read any of these, any of the novels that have come out in the new, Tarkin's a huge character. It makes no sense for him not to be there, whether he's a hologram or he's mentioned. I thought it was brave to go, you know what? We absolutely need this character to tell this story. Now, afterwards, everybody was kind of freaked out about that. Carrie Fisher dies, and within a week or two, Disney comes on board and says, look, officially we are announcing this. We will not use CGI to bring Carrie Fisher back. Everybody can chill out. I thought that was not the right call. because to me, that's because people there loved her. It wasn't just someone they worked with. Those are people working out of grief. And I'm like, you don't make artistic decisions when you're in grief, because if you had a story, and I refuse to believe they didn't have some kind of end game for this.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Leia was a part of that end game to go, well, let's just kill her off in the second film and be done with it. I'm like, no, no. I mean, it, you know, her son's still out there. That's a huge hanging loose thread.
And that's actually one of the things I wanted to bring up was with, you know, I mean, now that we see that Kylo Ren is going to be, obviously, returns in the film. I mean, what, how do you think that's going to potentially play out? Because we know that, obviously, Leia's going to be there. Are we going to see an interaction between them?
So multiple sources right after Carrie Fisher passed away had been saying that there was supposed to be a very pivotal scene between Kylo Ren and Leia in episode 9.
Okay.
Right? So if we kind of connect the dots, I would assume that probably we have the opportunity for him to return as Ben, right? Mm-hmm. He has the, like, the familial ties are kind of like rebonded. And I think that it's one thing, you know, it's who knows what the end game is for him, right? But if that's going to be a pivotal scene, I can't imagine that it's going to be a scene where he is going to, I mean, maybe he tries to kill her in this film, but I could see him coming back. Now, with that said, how do you, I mean, how are you going to, they have to completely redo episode 8, right? Because how are you going to send her off? You have to have her die somehow.
Months.
Right?
So, yeah. There have been rumors about her character slipping into a coma for months.
Right.
So maybe they're like, well, she was going to be in a coma because you don't want to talk about Empire. We basically put her in carbonite. We put her in narrative carbonite, except we're calling it a coma this time. And then we can bring her back for the third if we want. Or, you know, maybe they go, well, maybe sometimes they don't wake up.
Yeah.
And that's a clean way out. But I think that's cheap. I think that's easy. If you had a really kick-ass story about how a mother confronts her son who killed her husband and his father, that's a much more dramatic story. I'd much rather see that than suddenly Luke trying to take on that role.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of back to the point, what impact does Carrie Fisher's passing have to, like, how do you think that impacts Kylo Ren's journey?
I mean, I think there's going to be some type of confrontation between Princess Leia, or excuse me, General Leia, and with her son. I think that's, they're driving towards that. I mean, Kylo's going to have to answer for killing his father, and Leia's going to obviously want to hear it from him. How did that happen? There has to be something like that. And maybe my only thought would be, kind of getting back to more of the trailer stuff in a minute, that some of that would fall to Mark Hamill now. Like, a lot of that came. Now he'll be kind of the family connection that Kylo Ren has. Now, I think that they're going to place a lot of that on Mark. Because I don't think they're going to kill Luke in this movie.
No.
I think he's going to continue on to 9, continue to serve that Yoda kind of Ben Kenobi role. And kind of want to get just back to one thing. Now that we know that Rey obviously is being trained by Luke, what do you think kind of like questions are going to be answered about Rey? Are we going to learn about her parentage, her history? Because this is The Force Awakens. A lot was kind of left on the table in regards to that, where we don't know, you know, why she was really on Jakku. She doesn't even know why she was on Jakku for all those years. And so, I mean, do you think that they'll start to answer these questions? Starting with Harris. What are you? Oh, excuse me, Richard. You're red hair.
Yeah.
Oh, Harris, you can go ahead. Sorry.
I think we're going to at least get hints. I don't think they're going to give us the full thing. Because there may be a aha moment, a la, no, I am your father, but we're not going to get the full story until the 9th movie, because they're self-consciously echoing the structure of the previous movie. And if they're going to go with that, then it's like, yes, you're going to get that aha, so-and-so is your father, your parents were this, but there's going to be more to the story, and that's going to spur on even more questions about what's happening, and then that's going to end up leading towards a whole lot of spin-off comics. What were Rey's parents doing in the interim between when they dropped her off, and why did they never come back? Well, we're about to find out, and Kieran Gillen will probably write it.
Yeah. Richard, what about yourself?
I think that's very spot on when you say that we'll probably get a third act revelation. Will they make it stick? Because they've kind of painted themselves into a weird bit of a corner now, because, you know, you have this very similar character dynamic for your female lead in both The Force Awakens and Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you not have that feel like, you know, just going to that same well again? Which is a theme throughout the film, to, you know, basically orphans. But, yeah. You know,
remember what George said? These things rhyme.
They rhyme, but you know, I think we're heading into repetition.
Yeah.
That could do with a bit of deviation, just to bring something to it. Yeah, I mean, they really need to do something that's going to make this journey worthwhile at the same time as, you know, I think the big problem is going to making sure that John Boyega has something to do.
Yeah.
Because I one of my biggest disappointments...
Oh, it's going to be fall in love with Poe.
Yeah. Or with Kelly Marie Tran. He and Poe are going to have a thing together, I think. They're going to have some kind of, like, three-way. That's what's going to be. They're going to introduce sex for the first time. Oh, wait a minute. That's a whole different headcanon I'm talking about. Never mind.
I'm telling you, ship pilot is coming. Storm pilot.
Adam, what about yourself? What do you think?
I definitely think I think we are going to get the mystery of Rey's parents. There's going to be the revelation. Mm-hmm. Now, I for one, think that in the interest of talking about I agree with you that I think Luke is probably the most complete character that we've seen throughout the entire Star Wars saga. I would like to turn it on its head and for Kylo in a Darth Vader type of role, you know, to kind of echo that. I would like for Luke to be responsible for maybe killing her parents. Like maybe they were Darksiders or something like that, right? Yeah. To where it creates this very difficult, like there's a dilemma for her, right? Because your master at the same time is the one, I mean, because really all that we have for Rey right now, other than her being, you know, she for some reason wants to become a Jedi, right? Because she grabbed a lightsaber, right? It's not quite the same. She doesn't have the same motivation as Luke did. But I think that everything exists about based upon whether or not, like, what's the reveal of her parents. So, like, to Richard's point, they have to stick that landing, right? And it can't just be, oh, well, Luke's her dad, right? Because I think
that would be awful.
Everybody's expecting.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
Right? So, I in particular, I want to see more character development for Rey. I love Rey. I think Daisy Ridley knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely.
But the central complaint that I think a lot of people had with The Force Awakens, it is in comparison, or I should say in contrast to Luke, everything came so easily for Rey. And how did she do it? We don't know. Mm-hmm. She even says as much, right? Whenever Finn asks, how did you escape? You know, whenever they get onto Starkiller Base, she says, I couldn't explain it if I had told you. And that, to me, that's lazy storytelling. That's bad script writing. So we have to see her.
Where was the lightsaber? How did they get the... Still bugs me. That's a weird thing.
That's a story for another time.
For another time. Yeah. It's like, no, this...
That's
another time.
But right now,
for a three-comic... Yeah. That's for a three-comic series.
They're under attack by the First Order. Stuff is happening.
Not, you know, just somewhere in the center of Bespin's gravity well. This makes zero sense.
Right.
Here's the thing. I think it's going to be explained. Because they know they have to answer it at this point.
Well,
should they have answered in the film? Maybe.
But here's the big problem.
Did they find the hand? Can they bring the hand back?
Yeah.
Handy?
They cloned Rey from his skin cells.
He may well have left a real problem for Rian Johnson, because I think it speaks to the massive difference in the quality of storytelling and suspension of disbelief and our willingness to overlook problems. That over three decades later, we still just go, meh. Random period of time happened while you know, Luke was on Dagobah, and nobody has a real issue with that. Mm-hmm. But the Abrams just left so much stuff where you're just going, this is really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of the problems with a teaser is it's not going to start breaching any of this, but I really wonder how much of a narrative hole he has dug Rian Johnson into. And this proves Johnson knows how to make... I mean, that's the thing I think we really can look at here, is that Johnson has made something that feels like it fits in the universe. From a design point of view, again, from the pacing point of view, because he is such a particular kind of director. I mean, I love Rian Johnson as director, but how does the guy that did Brick and Looper... the guy who's never done a big action sequence in this way, and then has to hand off to a guy who, like, when was it? Has anybody said anything good about Colin Trevorrow in a while? Who, a man, like, has no proven track record of filling in plot holes. So I think Rian Johnson has the heaviest lifting.
Right. But he's writing the script for both, which gives me some confidence. Trevorrow's proven himself to be a perfectly capable technician.
Yeah.
And I think what you need is someone like Rian Johnson. Say what you will about Abrams, but he kind of did what Chris Columbus did for the Harry Potters. He's like, I'm going to put your cast together. I'm going to set up the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of get you on a head start. We kind of have a game plan going forward. Hand it off to the new kids. Let them finish it. And that's worked pretty well so far. But as far as plot holes go, I'm not ready to put all of that on Abrams, because I think it's part of this new post-Disney storytelling group type of focus, which is, well, we, and you've seen it already in a lot of the expanded universe stuff. It's like, here's a character who might be important, but we're going to conveniently not mention his name. Or here's a thing that may come into play later, because we've got a story here, and we've got three comic books, and we got another novel, and this is going to be in the game, and we're not going to answer this yet because we don't want to spoil the next saga film.
The other thing is that there are clues as to what happened when. I mean, everyone, like, you make a big deal out of, like, how long was Luke on Dagobah? Yeah. Who the fuck knows? There are hints. If you know what to look for, you can tell that he was there for months. This is one of those times of, like, there are hints to if you look for them. The part of the problem is that, yes, they do want to spread things out because they want to put the money out there as many places as possible. I mean, one of the most frustrating things about, like, Chuck Wendig's books was, like, okay, cool, we're seeing some of what we want to see, but why the fuck aren't we seeing even a hint of Luke? Why are we, you know...
Because they don't want to spoil it,
yeah,
what he's
exactly.
been doing.
It's like, there are the questions we want answered, and it means that we kind of have to be willing to look at some of the plot holes, not as holes, but as just part of an overall overarching storyline, and these things will be answered, maybe not necessarily in the main narrative, but now we have been trained to see our narrative spread over so many things. Even if you're not going to talk about, you know, okay, well, some of it's going to be in the books and some of it's going to be in the comics, if we just look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's spread over different franchises within it, and then some of it's coming up in Netflix, and some of it came up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we have trained the audience to look for multiple sources of information.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily plot holes so much as just, like, they didn't answer this question yet.
But there's a difference between multiple sources of information and making something that you can go through and go, okay, I don't need to disappear down that hole.
Right.
I mean, there's stuff in, you know, Dark Empire or Dark Forces that you could go and go, okay, this really fills something in. But there's a difference between, you know, filling in and adding texture and nuance and leaving and something that doesn't make sense unless you go down that hole. And audiences, you know, don't necessarily have time to fall down that hole.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's an audience's responsibility to have to go off onto five or six different sub-levels to understand what a story is doing. It's like,
absolutely. So
that is, in my opinion, the story's responsibility. The reason that A New Hope works so well is because you could end the story there, even though Vader disappears, right? You know, he's shot off into
perfectly
space.
Perfectly contained.
Or The Matrix. Right,
Matrix,
you don't have to necessarily have another film for
and they shouldn't.
Film.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't. Exactly. So I mean,
hey, no, the Animatrix is kind of awesome.
Yeah, like the Animatrix. But I think you both actually make good points. Right, is that yes, Disney, like that? It's up. They want you to go buy everything, right? And hey, I will watch it all and I will consume it all. Guilty.
Yeah,
but I don't think. I think that there were so many, like, and I loved The Force Awakens the first seven times I saw it. And then I started watching it again. I was like, well, wait a second. Like, so what, like, Kylo Ren is all knowing and all powerful until he's not. And then this character is really talented until they're not. Right. I mean, so like with Kylo Ren, I mean, they have to explain. I think it goes back to Richard's point. This film has a lot of catching up to do for the entire saga, and it's going to have to explain so many things. And I mean, do they have enough time to do that? Are they going to? I mean,
I think they're going to actually start to bring definition to this world now.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, I mean, Richard, you're right. I mean, I think a lot of things were. I mean, everyone was right. They left a lot of things out of The Force Awakens that is probably necessary. However, I still enjoyed the film. I think that. You know, whereas I think George Lucas became so obsessed with the details and like all the politics and how trade federations and all this stuff works, he lost track of this is a movie about characters, people that we're supposed to be attached to and follow.
Yeah,
whereas prequels completely failed at that.
And it got to the point of that Patton Oswalt joke of, hey, you want to know how, you know, you like ice cream here?
Sure.
Here's the salt and the cream it came from.
It's like, for me, I just felt like, let's just try to establish these characters who you're going to like and get along with each other, and it feels real. So, and I think now it kind of falls to Ryan. Ryan Johnson and Colin Trevorrow, and I imagine some other filmmakers as well, to provide the definition for the world that, that we just need going forward. I'm kind of curious, even though we don't see them in the trailer, we know that both Andy Serkis is going to be in this film along with Laura Dern. Now, we learned a few things about Laura Dern's character where she's going to play this general in the Resistance Army. And it's funny enough, they actually described her as kind of a prequel era type character where she's going to be like dressed like someone from the prequels.
As Holdo.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought she was going to be Leia's antagonist from the Bloodlines novel. That's who I thought she was going to be, the Countess. But it's not. New character, and we've apparently seen her ship in the trailer, but that's it.
Yeah. And then, of course, one of the other things with Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah, there's no Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of character do you think, or what kind of character do you want him to play?
He's going to be an alien.
You think so?
Well, the set descriptions of his character has been a human dressed in black with a cap who's kind of grubby and has a really fancy spaceship. He could be anything from a rogue to a gambler. He could be the new Lando. I thought for months they were being so quiet about him because I kept thinking, please be Thrawn. Please be Thrawn.
That's what we all want.
That's who I wanted. Now with the where Rebels is going now with the introduction of the Nagri and Rook, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's not going to
do it.
I'm like, oh, please don't wrap up Thrawn yet because I want him in the cinematic universe. Because they've perfectly set it up with this whole subplot about the Outer Rim and how the...
Yeah, known regions,
too. The Empire uses Jakku as a jump-off point to rebuild.
The Empire's End makes a big deal out of there's a section of the old Empire that sailed off to the Outer Rim.
Yeah.
There is something out there waiting for him.
And there's a certain admiral who's apparently commanding Emperor Palpatine's Super Star Destroyer.
And that's
so
another...
I'm hoping that's Thrawn.
No, but the thing is, okay, have you finished the new Wendig novels?
I have, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And this is like full spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
Any canon stuff, so we can get right into it.
Sorry we're spoiling it for you, kids. You had plenty of time to catch up.
I just have to say this. But hand me the lightsaber, you fucking cocksucker.
If he says that, like, I will go see the movie 50 times.
We're all waiting in the prequels for, could you hand me my lightsaber? It's the one that says badass motherfucker on it.
If only that had happened.
Force flip off.
But like, again, with the Wendig novel, like, the first time you see this mysterious admiral,
right,
he's never named. He just says he's kind of tall, he's mysterious.
Appreciates art.
He appreciates opera and art. You think, it's Thrawn. Just say it's Thrawn. Well, no, it's not Thrawn. Okay, maybe it's Snoke. Is it Snoke? Nope, not him. Why are they not mentioning that? Because by the second novel, they're like, by the time the second novel and third novel come out and we introduce this character, we've already seen Snoke again. We've already established Thrawn in Rebels. That's the only reason they didn't name that character, because they knew for like two books we were going to wonder if that was him. And that's the kind of nitpicky thing that's kind of what bugs me about some of these. And these are things that, like Richard says, feel like plot holes, but to me it feels more like evasions. They're like, we don't want to spoil something and we want you to read another book or another movie. So we're just going to be really vague, and we know you guys are going to spend months just hashing out every possible theory.
I want to see the underworld brought into this. I want to see Benicio Del Toro as a character that maybe he's runs a ton of casinos.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, I would love to see more huts.
If he's one of the Dark Sun, that is going to be amazing. But if they bring in Prince Xizor, that book.
No, wait, talking about Shadows of the Empire?
Yes.
That book is awesome. That's like one of the best books.
The introduction
also one of the best games.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the introduction of Mary Jade.
No, that was in...
I'm wrong.
That's in Heir to the Empire.
You're right. But Xizor seducing Leia, right?
Yeah.
All of the... I mean, I just want to see... What I do like about the trailer is I certainly get the sense that, like you said, this is an expansion of the universe and that it's not going to be the same thing that we saw, which was The Force Awakens, and I get it. I totally get it, right? They had to reinstill confidence in people that did not like the prequels.
It was the remix. It was giving us the same thing with a slight new spin on it to get us ready for the beat's going to drop.
It's your favorite restaurant gets bought by a new owner and a new chef, and they open up a few months later, and they go, please come back. We've kept all the old recipes. We want you to know that you're still going to get what you've always gotten, And little by little, we'll start adding new menu items. And on that level, I think it worked. This is what we're seeing with this trailer is just hints at where the menu is going
to
expand.
There are a lot of callbacks to old stuff, too. Because the ships we see sailing on the salt flats, those look like fucked up B-Wings.
There's some B-Wing variant.
Yeah,
for and like, there's like, AT-ATs in the background.
Convert the air speeders.
The new AT-AT, the gorilla walkers.
Yeah.
Gorilla walkers? Wow.
We even see a couple of A-Wings in this. So we see one in the right before the Red War Post X-Wing blows up. We see a couple of going past. The Mon Calamari ships.
Yeah.
No, they still have A-Wings. Wasn't the entire purpose of A-Wings originally that they couldn't get anything else?
And no, those were Y-Wings.
Yeah. No. Go back to when A-Wings were first introduced for Jedi, and the whole logical was that the Rebellion couldn't actually get anything else, so they basically just strapped engines and guns to a cockpit and flew it because that was all they had. You actually go back to 83 and look at how they were explained back then.
But another thing
is they're basically just a discount gunship.
But we've established that the Rebel fleet is destroyed. So basically, the Resistance is back to square one, going fuck. Now we have to rely on old X-wings and A-wings or whatever we can get our hands on.
One of the books, I forget which one, that the Rebellion has been trying very hard to stay under the radar and not to step on any toes for the First Order, and so they've been jerry-rigging old school ships and putting them all back together. But A-Wings in Jedi and whatnot, they're established in the canon as being more maneuverable, faster, lighter ships.
Yeah.
But they're more like Strikers, whereas X-Wings are closer to F-18s, where you're going to have their multi-role air superiority.
Yeah.
Can I just say that Poe loses his X-Wing gets blown up again. That's two movies in a row where his X-Wing gets blown up.
Once in the comics, too, Poe Dameron.
There is some rebel mechanic going, son of a bitch. Huh. Now, let me go find the black paint. No, he needs to have the black paint. I got to repaint this X-Wing.
What do you think Poe's role is going to be in this? I think
he's going to get an expanded role.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, he's supposed to be up against the Laura Dern character. Huh. That's from what I've gathered, that she is kind of like, no, we're going to do this way. And he's like, no. And I have a feeling in some ways he's going to be the Leia surrogate. He's like, if Leia was here, she would say, we got to do this. She's like, nope, this is my fleet. And, you know, if you don't like it, fuck you. She's like, no, this is how we're going to do it. So that's where I think the dynamic is. And we're going to see, you're right, it is kind of like Empire, like Richard said. It has that, some of those elements. So you're going to have Poe and Laura Dern. We're going to see Rey, Luke, and Benicio del Toro. You're going to see Finn and the new character Rose by Kelly Marie Tran. They're going to go undercover off on their own adventure. Poe and BB-8 and where Leia's in that mix, I'm assuming Poe's part of it.
And they're bringing Maz Kanata back as well.
Yeah. And Maz Kanata, wherever because she's got no home left. You know, so
she's got no home left, but she's also another connection to other uses of the Force.
Yeah, she's another good exposition machine is what she is. She's like, tell us a story, Maz, and then oh, remember that time I told you I was going to tell you how I found this lightsaber? Well, I promised.
That could be the problem they've got here is again, just how much are they going to have to explain? Like, where did Maz Kanata go? Where did she disappear to? How did she not die?
Yeah. Well, you know, again,
how did Captain Phasma get away?
I think that's going to be explained in her 5-issue miniseries comic.
I get a feeling that a lot of these things were answered in the original cut, and then they go, you know what, we're making a movie and it's got to be around 2 hours and we're gonna have to lose 20-30 minutes of material and hope we can address it somewhere else.
Yeah,
I mean, if the other thing about this trailer to keep in mind, I was joking earlier how a few shots felt like just promotional shots, like they were a little too nice and center frame, they didn't look like they were from gonna be final images. If we've learned anything from the marketing campaign for Rogue One and Force Awakens, this isn't necessarily what we're going to get. It's a good taste, and right now it might be exactly what Rian Johnson thinks. 8 months from now, he might be going, you know what? I don't need this shot.
Yeah.
What do you mean he?
Well, what, he and his committee?
Right.
He?
Well, in Rogue One, right, Gareth Edwards, he said that the majority of the shots that we got, the marketing team for Disney came to him and said, hey, we want to use that. And he said, okay, well, let me preface.
Yeah.
This is not in the movie
at all. We don't care.
Right?
It looks cool.
Yeah. This was a shot. Exactly. And that's what they said. They were like, well, it fits the general aesthetic, right? Yeah. And he was like, I mean, so much in that, yes, Felicity Jones is in the film. And they were like, sweet. We're going to use it. And the majority of the Force Awakens stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Kylo
all
shot.
All that voiceover, gone.
Gone, right? Who are you?
Yeah.
Not even
I thought that was going to be important.
Well, speaking of that voiceover, I mean, Snoke, I think, is kind of a controversial character among fans. One, because we don't know a whole lot about him, because I thought his introduction wasn't all that great. Actually, that's one of my big criticisms.
That is a generous moment.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I like that there's potential with him, because... As in some of, like, the expanded material that Marco has brought up, you know, Thrawn talks about, like, the unknown region, how there's a threat there. Mm-hmm. I mean, could Snoke potentially be that threat? Where, okay, obviously we know the Force has awakened, it's changed. Could he be a new type of dark side user? I mean, you know, because he's not a Sith, and he's clearly not going to be Plagueis.
Well, he's made a point that he's the leader of the Knights of Ren, and the whole point of Rey is to bring her to him to become the latest in the Knights.
Well, he says Kylo Ren is the master, correct?
Yes.
Because he says the master of the Knight of Rens, have never faced a task as great as this.
Yeah, which is killing your father.
He certainly is the leader of Kylo. I mean, without question.
And we don't know his powers. I mean, he could just be a really decrepit old dude. Well, we assume he has some kind of dark side power. He talks about completing your training.
He's the stormtrooper that bangs his head against
That's
why he's so pissed. He's got a real...
I think the problem is, like, you know, talking about, you know, the potential for, you know, things in the Rift and further out.
Sure.
You've only got, at best, 5 hours of film left.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a lot to wrap up. And I think this is the problem of talking about, you know, going too deep into the new extended universe, is that, you know, you've got to make this story accessible, and you've got to bring it all into land, and land an awful lot of characters, and they're adding several more characters this time around.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the problem with, like, you know, talking about how big a part Benicio's Dalton going to have. He literally, you know, with the way they're handling this franchise at the moment, he could literally turn up for a spit in the coffin and go, there you go, told him he was coming. You know, Simon
Justin
Pegg went,
Rose
oh,
in
I'm
this
in
movie.
It. Yeah. Like, yeah, Simon Pegg turns up for 5 microseconds, in under 12 foot of latex. You know, he wasn't really in it. You know, you could have had anybody at that point.
But that's the smartest way to do it, because then you can come back and play somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Benicio del Toro and it's just his face, that is the only character he's ever going to play. Whereas they can put Warwick Davis in a new mask every movie, and he's happy. You know, as far as characters we haven't seen in this trailer, we've talked about Benicio del Toro, we've talked about Laura Dern, we have not talked about Kelly Marie Tran, who is supposedly the sidekick to Finn. Haven't seen a single frame, but for months I keep hearing people tell me, oh, you're going to love her. She's great.
Right.
She's this wonderful new character. And that may be true, but I think she, like some of these other elements, they're going to just trickle them out little by little. Yeah. And that's not going to be in this first trailer. Unfortunately, I want to see that stuff now, because I've known about this stuff for months. We don't see Domhnall Gleeson. We know he's back, but we don't see him in here. We get one shot of Finn just going, oh, remember this guy? Yeah, he's still here. For those few people who don't know anything about Star Wars and thought maybe he died at the end of Force Awakens, no, he's alive. That's all that one shot tells you.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. This is a teaser.
Yeah.
This is,
and it's
this a, oh, yeah. Just, right. We're just kind of expanding upon like what we've seen and what we hope to see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we should have had it up on one of the screens, just gone through the shots.
One thing, did you notice that Kylo's star is in the wrong place? Did you notice that Kylo's
star is in the
wrong place? No, if you go back and watch it, she cuts him at a very different angle. Like, it doesn't go
No, it's across. It's on his... It's on the right side of his face, going in a diagonal direction.
It was more across his nose, and here it's like right. They basically did the Anakin scar.
Well, I mean, it's been 30 years. The
technology
of Bacta tank.
Yeah,
pretty remarkable.
Move it to the wrong place.
Yeah. It's on his face. It's on the right side of his face.
And he's like, no, stop! I want a cool scar. I'm going to cut the treatment off now.
Maybe he's like, man, I got that healed. Chick stick scar.
Yeah.
This is just like Grandpa had in the
holo. He's in there going like, I'm just going to fuse you on this lightsaber.
Along the lines of like the Heidelberg dueling scars, and that could be an interesting, an interesting side to it.
Yeah. I mean, when we saw Force Awakens the first time, and all of the material featured him with that helmet on, I really kept hoping, you know, that when he took it off, there's going to be something with his face.
But I like the fact
smart.
That
it was. It was a shock. He's like, oh, he's a kid.
No, the mystery
that
is
was
how the
shock.
Fuck does he get that hair under there?
Well, you know, I mean, that's...
It's the Force. He uses that.
I actually really like Kylo Ren because, unlike some of the prequel villains, he has a personality.
Right.
And he actually has depth. And the fact that he's kind of the first Star Wars villain who's actually psychotic. Where I don't think he's even in control of himself. As we've seen The Force Awakens, people say he throws these temper tantrums. Like, yeah, that's what makes him really interesting. The fact that, you know, as look at someone like Vader in the original trilogy, how he was always very composed. Yeah, he was, you know, choking people, you know, and murdering people. But he always did in a very kind of elegant, very calm way. Whereas Kylo Ren, he can't control himself. Well, and that's what I think.
Because
that's
Vader
so
used people
different.
As stress balls. And yeah. Kylo Ren hasn't figured out
well,
how to
other,
do that.
The other thing that's interesting about Kylo is that we always see the story of the good guy drawn to the bad.
Sure.
Yeah.
That is the one of the oldest tropes. It is literally older than fiction. This is the first time, really, that I can think of that didn't involve someone falling in love, of someone who is being a villain who's being drawn to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes his character interesting, and that makes his temper tantrums and his, like, pounding his wounds while he's fighting Rey much more interesting in that he is deliberately trying to be more evil, and it's not working.
Yeah.
Exactly. He is not evil enough, and that is a character flaw, and as he perceives it. And you're right, that's interesting. You don't see that every day. So, you know, I'm like, I still have too much light side in me. That's not a common problem in these films. It's always been about the temptation of the dark side. Now you got a character who's tempted by the light side. I don't know how it manifests itself, but, I mean, does he, like, draw unicorns and rainbows when he's in his spare time? And Snoke has to stop doing that. It's like, I'm sorry.
Well, so I just find him irksome.
He should be.
I find him irksome. It doesn't help that I don't like Adam. Adam Driver is in When We're Young, when you are supposed to find him to be an irksome hipster. Mm. That's like, I can't get past that with him. He's one of these actors I do not see why Hollywood has fallen in love with him.
Mm.
He consistently underperforms. I just feel he's very hollow. I think he's a real problem for the franchise at the moment. I think problem.
The franchise survived Hayden Christensen. It will survive Adam Driver.
Who actually has depth.
And Hayden Christensen didn't have nearly as much material. Actually, he had way more. He just wasn't directed well.
Yeah.
So this is a case where we kind of have that echo of Anakin, where it's whiny, the kind of bratty, sort of self-involved, angry dude. But he's kind of given some direction.
I think he's a poor reflection.
Well, no, I think, honestly, he's what Anakin should have been.
He's what Anakin should have been.
And it's just like, instead we get this character. I mean, it's like even in the Phantom Menace, he's a slave, and he's happy, and he's go-lucky. It's like, no, that should be a deeply disturbed kid. Like, I live in slavery. You know, I shouldn't be going yippee or, you know, pod racing.
But again, that's directing and writing.
That's someone who hasn't hung
out with real people in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, again, great idea, great story. Execution sometimes misses the mark.
Sure.
Going back to the trailer, because I don't want to get derailed with the
players. Yeah, I know. We're always getting derailed.
where else can we go with this discussion? I mean, is there anything else you guys are wondering
about? I mean, that's what I wanted to bring up. Well, Adam, do you have one more point to make?
I think going back to the trailer, I was very... Well, we could talk about what the most compelling imagery was. And for me, you know, I think showing Kylo Ren's mask, like, destroyed... to me says a lot about him as a character, right? Like, so in the first film, we assume that he probably wore that, obviously as an homage to his grandfather, but also, essentially, I think because, to your point, he doesn't have the self-confidence or the mastery of the dark side enough that he has to put on a mask so that people fear him.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. I think what we're going to see now is an evolution of Kylo Ren to where he says, you know what? I don't need the mask anymore, right?
Yeah.
I'm powerful enough that my actions are going to draw a presence, and that you will respect me and you will fear me based upon what I do, which is why Darth Vader was so scary, right? Is Darth Vader didn't have to throw things around once he put the mask on by necessity, right? He could just kill people and he didn't have to use puns like he did in Rogue One.
Yeah, I love that pun. That's a great pun.
But he, you know, his actions were enough.
Or his presence.
Yeah, exactly. His presence was enough. And so I think it'll be interesting to see where he goes, right? I mean, if he's going to, because it looks like it's gone, right? I think that he's not going to wear the mask again, at least.
Whether he destroys it himself or what. But, you know, obviously now with the scar, they're trying to make him look a little tougher. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess I keep wondering when we're going to get more of these artifacts that we keep seeing in the expanded universe, you know, like the helmet and stuff, the lightsaber, because there is this little subgroup of like Sith.
The Acolytes.
The Acolytes who are like, and I assume that's kind of where the Knights of Ren come out of. And if you follow, like, say, the Lando comics or in the Wendig books in Jakku, they're is a ship belonging to the Emperor, and he has replicas of it, and they're all jam-stuffed with relics. They're all like floating museums of dark side relics. And I want to see more of that. I wouldn't mind if he goes like, I have several scary masks to choose from, you know? He could pick a different one, but I agree he's probably going to not have it.
Maybe you can have the mask of Darth Revan or something like that, which I originally thought that's what the mask was going
to
be.
Yeah, you know, so to me, that's like, we have to find a way to make a new toy.
Yeah, man, it's sad.
But Darth Bane is, you know, canon now, so why not Revan?
Yeah, I think eventually they will do that. But yeah, just kind of go around the room again. Okay. Marco, what's one thing that you definitely would like to see in the film?
What I would definitely like to see is a new definition of the Force. That is not defined by Jedi and Sith. I think they've been promising it. I want this film to deliver on that. If it ends up with him going, you know what, I was wrong, being a Jedi is cool, let's go. I feel like this whole teaser is a misdirect if they go that route. And if they do, then I think we can look forward to many years of a very new type of Star Wars film.
Richard, Nat Harris?
Pling Harris.
Yes.
I think at this point what I want to see is John Boyega being given more to do.
Mm.
I mean, all he really had was running around, looked confused, no real motivation, and getting bumped on the elbow by Poe Dameron, who, I mean, again, is for me just a very flat character that didn't really feel there was anything to. And I really hope they work out something to do with John Boyega, because he's one of the best young actors of his generation. Yeah. He was pretty, by comparison to what I've seen him do in other stuff, particularly Attack the Block, I was like, you could have got anybody to do this. There's no reason that you take this character, and I want the payoff to be him given something decent to do in this film.
Okay. Harris, not Richard.
I'm at least when it was Jason that everybody mistook me for, you could understand that.
It's the red hair, it threw me off. Red kind of red hair. Yeah,
you're so close together.
But
maybe if we actually, that'd be weird. Like if you do a Voltron thing, we become Richard Harris.
That's right.
You become a man called Harris. The liver.
I need two to survive.
So I, on top of John Boyega, and I want to see more of Oscar Isaac and have him have more to do, too, because he's a really interesting character. And honestly, I think my favorite image that I've seen in a long time is not from any of the material. It's the picture of Gwendolyn Christie holding him out by his neck while holding a drink in this elegant blue dress. It is quite possibly one of the hottest things I've ever seen. But the other thing I want to see is I'm looking forward to the new training that Rey is going to be undergoing through Luke. Luke has learned from some of the greatest Jedi of all time, and we've seen what happened. And I'm kind of curious to see whether he falls back onto the whole, well, here's how Master Yoda trained me, and here's how Ben Kenobi trained me. And then he has his own, and I was a whiny little shit who didn't listen to any of them. So now with the wisdom of what I've learned and from the horror of having seen my students murdered in front of me by a former student, here's what I now know you need to learn. And I'm kind of interested in seeing that and how that affects or reflects his new philosophy of the Force and whether or not the end of the Jedi and whatever is coming next. And when they say the Last Jedi, they mention the fact, like Rian Johnson has said, Jedi in this case is singular.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he has evolved in his relationship to the Force and his relationship to his students.
Adam?
I want to see dark side training. I don't think it's something that we've never gotten to see. What does that even entail, right? So if you're going to show the balance, and if you're going to show both sides of the coin, I want to see. I mean, I think it'll give so much more of. It'll be such an expansion in terms of character development for Snoke, also, which we all agree. I think that we got nothing for what the payoff for what the buildup was in The Force Awakens. Yeah. So I think if you show that and you show the relationship between them, and also I want to see the Knights of Ren. Like, I would love to learn that the Knights of Ren are in fact a bunch of the Padawans that were in the Jedi Academy, and there was a coup that decided to have an uprising, right? Or there was a mutiny. So just show me more of the dark side. I think enough of that and you'll be right on track. And to Richard's point, self-contain some of this stuff.
Yeah.
If it means that Snoke's going to have to... I would love to see Snoke be one of the original Force users, right, in the Journal of the Wills. I'd be totally cool with that, so that we could see that Luke actually has a true rival.
Are you the son from Mortis or not? Just tell me. I need to know.
Like, right now, we assume that Luke is on just some transcendent level, right? I mean, 30 years, he's learned, he's studied everything, right? He's telling us, hey, I figured it out. I know so much more about the Force than we've ever seen in these sagas, right? So, like, show us that, but show us all of it, you know? Like, we've seen what the light side can offer. I don't think we've seen the other half. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of room for growth in that respect.
Yeah. If you go back to Jedi, he does choke that Gamorrean guard.
Right.
So he's like, I know, I kind of learned this on the sly. It wasn't part of the curriculum. Right. But I learned the Force choke, and weeknights, I'm studying lightning.
He is a Skywalker.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, Luke's a badass.
Yeah.
Well, he's dressed all in black. It's very black. Not like the Jedi who are just in brown.
It's not what I'm doing that's bad. Yeah. It's why I'm doing it.
Right.
You know, I'm doing it for a good reason.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like I'm choking my wife or anything.
Yes, exactly.
Like my dad did. But yeah, I agree with you. And I think we've kind of circled around some of the same thing, which is we want to see this new iteration of the Force, whether it's gray, whether it's purely dark, purely light. It would be great to have like dual training montages.
Yeah.
You know, while she's learning with Luke and then he's learning with, you know, Snoke.
Yeah. I'll Rocky.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I thought was
getting ready for the big
parts.
Opening night.
I thought that was one of the best parts of Revenge of the Sith was at the end, whenever we're seeing the birth of Luke and Leia.
Yeah.
And then we're seeing the birth of Darth Vader. I thought there was some good editing.
Except the end bit.
And those
no.
that
no.
Well,
yeah. We don't need to talk about
but again, that whole cross cutting rhyming scheme that Lucas started, and all of those filmmakers are going to end up having to follow it. Yeah. We're going to have that three-pronged battle where we're cutting to space, we're cutting to a planet, we're cutting to a spaceship, an interior, exterior, you know, and just constantly zipping back and forth. And with so many parts and characters and little subgroups in play, I think that's what we're going to get with this third act. Yeah. It's going to be a bunch of folks flying back and forth. And
Which is going to be a challenge, because no matter what you say about Lucas as a filmmaker, his ability to balance multiple plot points within a film and within an action sequence is pretty much peerless. Yeah. Very few people have ever pulled off the balances that he did.
Absolutely.
This could well be the big challenge, is like, you know, if they're going to go for what you think they're going for. That could be tough.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to do well.
And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for them to go, you know what? We're not George Lucas. We should have tried to make a George Lucas movie, because we have George Lucas movies. At some point, once they get past this saga, I think they're going to have to go, we have a new set of leads. We have a new approach to the Force. Maybe we don't have to do the saga in the exact same kind of mold.
And I think that's what they're going to be doing with this movie, hopefully. And I think everyone just brought up some really great points. For myself, I mean, I would like to see some type of action scene with Luke, you know, showing off how powerful he is. But not like in, you know, something that where he's like, he's doing a million flips or whatever.
Right.
But like, I assume everyone's caught up on like Star Wars Rebels and seen the confrontation.
It should be the Obi-Wan Maul fight.
It should be that where he takes out like a couple of guys like in 10 seconds. Yeah. Where it should be just like that. And, like, he's the samurai master. And of course, those type of battles would last only a few seconds because you're going up against someone who knows everything.
It's going to be very Lone Wolf and Cub.
Exactly.
Or very Sanjuro, where it's like...
It's Sanjuro, yeah.
Yeah, they're just going to stare each other down. There's going to be one slash and you're not going to know who died until they fall over.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, I hope they provide greater definition to what happened in between those 30 years from Return of the Jedi to Force Awakens, where I get the sense in the novels that it's been kind of like a Cold War, where the Resistance is used kind of like, you know, if you want to make a comparison, like the Viet Cong or whatever, like how the Russians would supply them, you know, during that time or whatever, that kind of type of thing, where that's what the function of the Resistance is while they're fighting the First Order, where the New Republic is very kind of hands-off. It's like, well, we don't condone the actions of General Leia, who is this extremist. So hopefully that provides some type of definition to that.
The French Resistance and the Nazi occupation.
Sure. Maybe not the best comparison, but... hopeful that they...
something or anything that makes sense of that, because that was a real issue. That if you just look at the film, the fact that there is the Resistance and
the New Republic.
The New Republic made zippo sense. Mm-hmm. That actually felt really stupid.
It makes sense in the expanded material, but I agree.
But you shouldn't have to go.
And that is the one thing that I know they must have cut out. They had talk about it and they cut it.
And honestly, they just needed one line in the opening text to explain that, and it would have been fine. Like after Luke Skywalker has vanished, the New Republic has been established, and they're fighting a proxy war with the New Order, who rose from the ashes of the Empire. Something like that, which I've been totally fine with.
Because the New Order and the Republic have a kind of detente. They basically have signed a treaty and like you can keep your air turf.
Yeah, we'll keep our space.
And Leia's like, fuck no! If we don't attack them now, they're going to just use all this time to build up. Which of course is exactly what they do.
Yeah.
But again, that's real expanded stuff. Anything else? What else?
Yeah, does anyone have any last minute things before we
We have to see Luke and Leia reunite.
Yeah. If they haven't written her out, there's any chance in hell they didn't.
There have been some photos of them on set together.
Yeah.
Because we never got that of Han, Luke and Han.
There is one little thing that I have kind of kept in the back of my head where, we were talking about earlier, like, should they recast? Do they break the story just to write around her absence? And shortly afterwards, after Celebration, Kathleen Kennedy went on record saying, Carrie Fisher does not appear in this film. Now, again, because we're Star Wars nerds, we're going to read that a couple of different ways. Yeah. Carrie Fisher doesn't appear.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Princess Leia doesn't appear. So she left that opening. But it could be the reason they're not freaking the fuck out about this as much as we think they should be is because, A, they don't want us to know they're freaking out, or B, she was already going to die. I mean, they might have already shot her death scene. They might have already figured out. They're like, oh, it's horrible. It's terrible, but it's going to be fine because we already killed her. Which I would hate. I think that's so cynical because you already have Harrison Ford dying in the first one. If this is going to be Carrie Fisher dies in the second and then Mark Hamill dies in the third, I would really be bummed out by that because the only bad thing about this new expanded universe material is for years we thought, the Battle of Endor happened. They won. It was great. No, if you read the books, like, we had about a week or two there. Everything looked pretty cool.
Right.
And then it's just been shitty ever since.
Yeah, the comment a lot of people made, and I think Chuck Wendig finally made it canon, was on Coruscant when everybody's pulling down the statue of the Emperor and everybody's cheering and cheering and dancing. People used to joke, like, yes, and then off camera, you don't see the stormtroopers marching.
Yeah. But now we do.
And now Chuck Wendig's like, yep, that's like, exactly what happened.
It's like, you dare desecrate the Dear Leader statue? Yeah, I mean, it's a much grittier world, and it's cool in that way, but I love these characters that I just, as a child, I've always wanted them to get that happy ending they deserve.
Here's my prediction. I don't think Luke is going to die in episode 9. I think we're going to come full circle where he's an orphan, he's going to be an orphan again, but it's going to be, wait for it, A New Hope, when he's got, I know, it was horrible, I'll see myself out, but he's going to have the new, like, he's going to be the paterfamilias of this new generation. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be sort of taking on where Obi-Wan failed. Where Obi-Wan failed with Vader, he's going to finally have succeeded and have brought redemption not just to Vader, but also to Obi-Wan.
I mean, he's already failed where Obi-Wan failed when he failed with Kylo Ren.
I'm not so sure that Luke doesn't die in this film. I say that is because we have The Last Jedi, right? Which Rian Johnson has said
singular.
Is singular, right? So technically,
unless you count the Jedi and Rebels,
right. Kanan and Ezra
who may or may not be Jedi,
or whom were actually Jedi.
That's true.
Yep. But I could see there being kind of a aha moment where he dies or he sacrifices himself or gives himself to the Force, and then Rey becomes the last Jedi, right? And then it's carried on. So it's like, okay, well, the Jedi. Technically are still only one.
But you see, now you just make them Highlander where there can only be one. It's like one has to die and then another one takes over.
No, but I don't think that they're I don't think it's gonna be kind of like the rite of the Sith or whatever, right? I'm saying that it just becomes happenstance, right? To where it's like you have to carry on, which would again echo kind of what was happening with Empire Strikes Back, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever he leaves Dagobah, and Obi-Wan, Yoda says that was our last hope. Or no, Obi-Wan says that was our last hope. Right?
That was another.
No, there's another.
There's another.
Right?
Who we always thought was Leia, but now could be Ahsoka, could be Ezra, could be Kanan. We don't know.
No.
What about
the final episode of Rebels? Is a lot darker. darker than anybody's getting.
Oh, no, I think Kanan and Ezra are definitely going out. I mean, they're either denouncing, right? They're denouncing the Jedi as a whole.
That's
or
the workaround.
I think eventually that we're just going to have a Star Wars Rebels discussion at the end of the series where we just review all four seasons.
Because now it's the last season. It's announced.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I think
they've run out of space between them.
Yeah, there's no more.
It's like 2 days before, you know, New Hope at this point.
And at the very least, 2 minutes of the Last Jedi teaser has just given us this much to talk about, which is ultimately their purpose, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. They want us talking about it, and they want it vague. And like I said earlier, we're going to get a whole bunch more of these. Oh, yeah. I mean, and to where by the time we got close to the opening of the movie, I like had to stop watching because I was like, no, I don't want to see any more because they keep posting more shit. Right.
I just want to know one thing.
What is that?
Which is, why is Poe Dameron wearing a 30-year-old flight suit?
It's not. It's
has
red.
Technology
it's
not changed?
No, it hasn't.
Point at all.
Everything just has a new.
Really?
Everything just has a new color scheme. Yeah, that's all.
Where was the jetpack I was promised when I was a child, Richard?
Spacesuits are very different now. They look radically different than they did 30 years ago. Yeah, they're completely different design. And like, you know, these things change.
Technology is slow in the Star Wars universe.
I will admit that like the majority of my knowledge for space comes from Space Cowboy, Space Camp, and Apollo 13. Yeah. So
friend
I'm my, not exactly. You probably.
Friend of mine, her anytime she saw a bad movie, you just say, "How was it?" She'd just say, "Space Camp."
So, like Space Camp.
So after
when I
this
was eight,
this,
I don't know about now.
This 20-minute long ending to this trailer reaction. We just want to say, well, first of all, thank you everyone for coming on. I think this was a great discussion.
Thank you.
Hopefully, man. I didn't cut anybody off at any kind of point. I just trying to.
And I apologize
keep something
if I did.
No. Everyone was good. So listeners, really hope you enjoy it, and may the Force be with you.